I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hello, welcome everybody. It's the world famous Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. I'm Ben Rogers, joined by Jeff Skin Wade, Jonathan Shippy Shipman, and Kevin KT Turner, the pride of Olney, Texas. And boy, isn't it good to be in the house on a Cowboy Monday when you have extended life. Your team is alive, and you're one of the few to move on in the NFL playoffs. Times are good here in Dallas. Cowboys go on to play the Rams Saturday at 7:15. They're just going to have to ram it. We'll be talking about that throughout the rest of the week, but we will give this game every bit of love and respect. Shippy, stop it. We're not ramming it yet.
Not yet, Shippy.
We're trying to ram it all the time.
Sorry.
He's so horned up.
But we're going to, before we ram it, we're gonna really celebrate this tasty dub.
Congratulations, Ben. Isn't it nice to get a playoff victory?
It's great. It's fantastic.
Doesn't happen that much around here the last, two decades.
Good God.
So it feels really good to see people up on it, as Biz Markie used to say. And Zeke, how great does it look that they rested Zeke? Because I thought Zeke looked awesome. And not breaking any news there. We've talked about this many times. When it mattered, Dak was pretty good. Even that interception he threw, I thought that was pass interference. Am I being a homer, or did you guys think that was pass interference?
It was pass interference with the combination of a bad pass.
Okay.
I mean, it was the only reason there was contact is because it was such a bad pass that Noah Brown had to stop, try to turn around and go back the other direction.
Right.
Almost. I slowed the play down and watched it over and over. I even tweeted it out. It was play action, and the DB got sucked in, and it was fantastic in that regard. And at that point, it was going to be all linebacker on Noah Brown. Well, Noah Brown's going to win that race to the pylon. Mm-hmm. All Dak had to do was float it out there to the corner, give him some space to run under it, and that's why the linebacker was running so hard. He was like, oh, my God, we're beat.
Right.
But Dak threw the ball so short that it caused Noah Brown to stop. So I don't know what the rule is there. I wonder if the referees were like, happened on that pass?
Usually if the defensive player does not turn his head to make a play on the ball and just runs into a player, they call defensive pass interference. But, dude, I mean, there's a lot of things that happen in the course of a game that they do or don't call. All kinds of holding on the offensive line. But usually the defensive player has to see, at least turn his head to make a play on the ball before he runs into a player.
I think it was such a bad pass that the defender had just as much right to the ball as the offensive player at that point. And maybe the refs are looking at going, what just happened? It was like
it's bang, bang on any pass interference, too.
That was one of the weirdest plays of the game because you've got an easy touchdown. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is float that ball out and lay it out there in front of Noah Brown. But ultimately, it didn't end up costing the Cowboys, which is glorious.
And that's the play, too, where Amari Cooper was over there being very demonstrative on the other side with his single coverage. I know you guys probably saw that flash.
Yeah.
But the play design was great. Mm-hmm. So, like, I was sitting there going, it was something they designed and wanted to try. The point that I kind of made, I watched the game at Kavanaugh's house, and the kind of point I made to him was, at that point, there had only been six penalties called all game long. It's not something where you can expect flags.
Right.
But on the next possession, there was a makeup call immediately with the Seattle hold on what didn't appear to be a hold.
The Beasley call was good. That almost felt like a makeup call.
It was a makeup call. Yeah. It absolutely was.
And it kept a drive alive.
They felt like they missed pass interference, and they probably did. So,
the way, what an incredibly athletic interception, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like he made a play on the ball. The ball bounced around, and then he caught it before it hit the ground.
You got a guy who's not even expecting to have a shot at being involved in the play, and suddenly it almost hits him in the helmet.
Yeah, that's very impressive.
What?
And the transformation of Noah Brown from wide receiver to tight end, I think it's complete. His body down now looks like a tight end. Like,
so is that steroids? What is that?
He looks bigger now, right?
You know, my problem with that, too, is, you know, any time, and God, it hurts when you've got a really good quarterback calling the game, too. Because Aikman is sitting there going, guys, what are we doing? You've got one-on-one coverage here with your number one wide receiver. And he kept pointing out all game that, you know, hey, Trey Flowers is hurt. Why aren't you going after him? Why aren't you? And so Amari Cooper's got one-on-one. If you're going to live or die with him, not Noah Brown. this team tries to, and by no means are we going to be negative today at all, but it seems like they went out of their way
to get the tight end involved.
Feature Noah Brown.
Isn't it funny that that Flowers injury happened on the Cowboys sideline? And they're all just standing around them watching him be hurt.
And they're unaware of it. And Aikman is like, guys, here's the deal. Trey Flowers is very hurt. He's got a bad ankle. Even if you're unaware of an injury update, check out the off-color ankle wrap on his ankle right now as he's one-on-one versus Amari Cooper in the slot right now. Aikman was beside himself. He didn't know why they weren't attacking him.
But you know what, though? That is, all of that is the beauty of Zeke. Because Zeke gives you so much margin for error because he has so many big runs, so many physical runs. When the Cowboys got the ball back relatively quickly after that interception by Seattle, I mean, that's got to be the point where all Cowboy fans are like, we're going to win this game, man. We're still up three. We got the ball back, pretty good field position. And in that long, methodical drive, how many times have we seen Dak do that? A nice, long, methodical drive. The offensive line blocks well. Zeke is a monster. You pick up a couple key first downs. And then the play that everyone's going to be talking about, 3rd and 14, that's going to be one of his definitive plays as a Cowboy, especially if they advance past this next round this weekend.
And I agree with Bassett talking about that. It's, you know, it's 3rd and 14. The Cowboys call a quarterback draw. They're just trying to get ready for the field goal, to go up 6, mm-hmm. knowing that Seattle doesn't have a kicker, and they're saying, hey, we think we can stop them from scoring a touchdown in 2 minutes.
I hate that, though.
I do, too. Because it's incredibly conservative. It's
basically what happens is, and we saw that with them going for it on 4th and 6. When the other team doesn't have a kicker, you don't stop them on 3 downs. It's 4 downs every frickin' time. And that is a lot to ask for your defense when you have a playmaker like Russell Wilson at quarterback. That's scary stuff.
Absolutely.
All conservatism for Seattle goes out the window. They have to go for it.
And it was a thing where it was funny at the half when it happened, though, because I was sitting there going, okay, we just saw one of the most gruesome injuries ever, okay, out there with the Hearns thing. Ugh. And then at halftime, that looked like just some guy getting hurt at work, like a guy was going down the stairs or something.
KT's worked with us for so long, he expects me and you to have those injuries, Ben.
A quick hamstring. I mean, it looked like something you might just accidentally see. It did not look like an NFL injury. That was like, it looked like a cartoon.
On Hearns?
No.
What are you talking about?
Janikowski.
Oh, because his hammy just exploded on him?
Yes.
And he's got these big old thighs, and he's old.
He's wearing those pants, and they're loose, but they're giant. Yeah. And him going to a knee going, no! It's just so old and out of shape.
I see what you're saying, yes.
It was so soft. Okay.
Okay, so go back to Jason Garrett playing for a field goal. It's a design draw up the middle. Dak takes the game in his own hands and takes it for 16 yards, then the quarterback sneak. But had Dak not had Dacked that thing, mm-hmm. it would have been 20-14. And then you look at what Seattle got the ball. Cowboys are going to be in the same defense, right? How the hell does Tyler Lockett get behind everybody?
Right.
What happened?
I don't know.
Did Byron think it was zone and it wasn't? I don't understand that. It was almost like the last minute. He was like, I think I need to close on this guy that's faster than everybody else.
It was 53 yards, and it looked so easy.
Scary.
And so thank God Dak took the ball in his own hands. Because there is this thing, and I was reading over at The Athletic. Our buddy Bob over there does a great job. And, you know, it really does come down to, you know, what are they trying to do versus what is Dak capable of? And you try to factor all that in, and I agree. It really is this formula, and you got to figure it out. It's are the Cowboys more concerned with limiting turnovers or scoring points? Now, don't get me wrong. I know they want to score points, but not at the cost of risking a turnover.
I do.
And so what happens early in games with the Cowboys is you've got a turnover versus a quarterback who's not really allowed to unleash the hounds, and you're just going to be very, very conservative. And the Cowboys hope at the end of the game, because they've got this awesome line and this punishing running back, that they can just kind of win the slugfest.
I think, Ben, to your point, I think a lot of times, especially with the Cowboys, and I say Linehan, is that when certain things happen with the game, they're, let's be conservative, light bulbs start flashing big time. For example, the other team doesn't have a kicker. Okay, different game now. Boy, that puts a lot of pressure on a Seattle team that doesn't score a lot. Let's be more conservative. They got the big score at the end of the first half. All right, a little breathing room. You know, it's like these things tend to happen in a Cowboy game where it's like, what? Dude, remember the Giant game earlier in the year where they found Tavon Austin for the big strike? It's like, all right, we got our touchdown. Let's call off the hounds. It's what, like, is that?
So at 3rd and 14, late in the game, the Cowboys are calling that draw, just hoping to, you know, make it a 6-point game and rely on their defense. That's so freaking conservative.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I understand 3rd and 14, it's not ideal, but if you score a touchdown, game's over, you would think.
Yeah.
And so.
And it was.
And they just went so conservative with that. But thank God Dak did what he did. And man, I'm just at this point with him where, you know, of all the, every quarterback has pros and cons, and there's things that drive you crazy about Dak with accuracy, and it's so freaking conservative, and it's hard to tell, is that him or that's Linehan. But the thing that is unquestionable about Dak Prescott is he is a winner.
I think he's a winner.
He's a winner, and he can get it done at the most clutch moments. And at those moments of the game where everything's on the line, somehow that guy is at his best. And you can sit here and style point wins or style point quarterbacks and do all that all day long, but ultimately – that's a pretty damn good thing to have, the guy who just figures out how to win games.
I would like to take everybody back. There's a false narrative about what happened in his first playoff game. It's wrong. What most people think happened is wrong. Dak led a comeback. Dak threw for 3 touchdowns and 300 yards after the first 2 drives were trash and they got down 14-0 to a veteran team. Dak led that comeback. He absolutely led that comeback. Garrett managed the end of the game wrong. Them clocking it gave the best player in the NFL a chance to win the game, and nobody ever talks about that. Dak, as a rookie in the playoffs, gave you a come-from-behind 300-yard, 3-touchdown game that didn't get the credit it deserves because of Garrett's mismanagement. Dak has now shown in 2 playoff games that he absolutely has what it takes when the lights are the brightest.
Yeah, that was a Garrett thing, and I forget about that sometimes because that happened in week 5 that year against the Packers too, where they gave Rodgers the ball back at the end of the game. That's just I guess I'm to the point where, and especially watching everything, besides Andrew Luck was the only really good quarterback this weekend and the 8 teams that played. Mm-hmm. Andrew Luck's the only one that looks, oh my God, he's a Hall of Famer again. I mean, Andrew Luck he's playing elite level football right now. Watching Deshaun Watson, I was going, oh my God. Obviously, the Lamar Jackson thing's a little different because he's a rookie. Phillip Rivers did not look great yesterday. Going up against good defense, but he did not look great. So, I mean, I don't know what to say. And then you go in next week. Every time you think he's going to have to start losing some of these games for me to be, like, super concerned.
Right.
And ever since he's been here, he's, for the most part, won those games.
God, he's in such an ideal situation. You've got an elite defense. You've got the best running back in the world. You've got, traditionally, when they're healthy, you have the best offensive line in the league. It's a very quarterback-friendly situation, and he's made the most of it. I think this is where it gets weird when people start trying to assess the full value of a win on a quarterback. Like, hey, look what he did.
Yeah, that's strange.
I mean, so... it kind of helped that it was 3 and out every time the Seahawks had the ball. That helped a little bit, too. I mean,
absolutely.
He's a team guy. He's not a guy who's going to light up the stat sheet. He's not a guy who's going to get anybody excited in your fantasy draft room. He's not going to, you know, put some crazy numbers up. But, you know, he gets it done when it matters, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I had this overwhelming calm watching the game. Like, typically, I would have been freaking out. Like, you're down in the fourth quarter. But this is who they are. This is what they do. They get down in the fourth quarter, and then they go win games.
Yeah.
It's what they do.
And then think about all this consternation, all this hand-wringing. The Seahawks and Cowboys had the highest-scoring playoff game of the weekend. It's the way it goes. The mighty Philadelphia Eagles won that game 16-15. This is playoff football is not the way things go. These teams do not come in here and light it up like they have all season. It's about toughness. It's about, I know I'm going to sound like Garrett here, it's about execution and toughness and having a tough mindset. And if you look at the games this weekend, Dak delivered it as much as anybody else in the NFL did. And now they're going to go to Los Angeles on Saturday night. We'll be talking about it all week long. Coming up next, though, let's talk about how good this defense was, how they impacted the game. All this, lots of Cowboys talk with you today. It's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. All right, so Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Man, our boy Ben is just grinding today. I mean, we're going to talk about it coming up and now trending at Ben at 340, but, you know, we always joke around about playing hurt. This dude over here is playing hurt. We're going to get down to the all the details on that at 440, or 420 rather. We'll tell you about
how is he running with a broken leg?
I ask that question every day. 420, we're going to talk about that incredible scene in Boston with Dirk and what it meant to Dirk and everybody there. But this is a Cowboys playoff win Monday, baby. We're celebrating in a big way. Cowboys got the victory over the Seattle Seahawks. They move on to the divisional round where they will be at Los Angeles at 7:15 kickoff on Saturday night. Of course, it's right here on 105.3 The Fan. We'll have all our pregame coverage. Really, really exciting as the Cowboys move on. And later in the week, we'll talk about how the Cowboys might actually be able to beat those Rams, right?
Touchdown Rams.
All right, hold on, Ben. But I do want to talk about the defense. And specifically, that was such an incredible effort for them, because once Seattle lost their kicker, you were going to have to be basically four and out almost every time. Now, obviously, if Seattle's got fourth and six and they're on their own 30, they're going to punt that, yeah, as we saw in the fourth quarter. But anything,
they got the best punter in the league.
Yeah. That's an Australian dude, right?
Dixon?
Yeah.
I just know he's the Texas guy. UT? I'm not sure he's Australian or not.
So that makes it even more difficult, because I've seen it before where you get a big stop on third down and you're celebrating and then you got to run over there and play defense one more time. And so knowing that that's what the mentality is, and obviously, dude, when Russell Wilson made that pass on fourth and six, I believe it was,
Doug Baldwin, and
extended that drive, that's, you're sitting there and you are stressed out at that moment, because you're like, good God, they're going to put so much pressure on this defense. And so for that defense under those circumstances, knowing it's not going to be a shootout, to be able to hold so many times and keep a playmaker like Russell Wilson in check, just another example of how quickly this defense has turned around.
Yeah. You know, if you look at the Seahawks had 12 possessions, right? 12 possessions in this game is how many they had. Half of them were three and outs.
Wow.
Half of them.
It's awesome.
So half the time your defense said, nope, we will have none of this. You are unable to contribute offensively. So, I mean, it's insane if you think about how dominant that is.
Did Seattle have 5 yards in the first quarter? I thought I heard Troy say that.
That's correct. They had three and outs in the first quarter. They had 8 yards on the first drive, 0 yards on the second drive, and -3 on the third drive.
That was the Antoine Woods, Malik Collins back-to-back play drive. Yeah.
Unbelievable. So you talk about tone setters. That is the epitome of a tone setter, baby. We're in our building, and we're going to allow 5 yards on three drives in the first quarter.
And there were so many just strong defensive plays in this game. One of my favorite defensive plays in this game was, I want to take you to the Seahawks' eighth drive. This is in the third quarter. Cowboys are up 10-6. There's around 10, 11 minutes left to go in the third quarter, okay? basically, this is... this is where Penny started getting going, right?
Mm-hmm.
Penny had a huge run, 29-yard run. That was, Sean Lee was in on that, right?
That was the first series that Sean Lee played.
Right.
Actually, the second series of the second half.
He only had four snaps.
They put Sean Lee in the game, and immediately Penny had a 29-yard run. And I'm not being a jerk right now, but if you watch the replay, I mean,
come on, Kevin.
It was pretty clean. I'm not saying Sean should have made the tackle.
Kevin.
But he was in the area, and it was pretty clean. Like, he didn't have a block to get off of.
So Rashad Penny had a 5-yard run, then a 29-yard run, and you're starting to think, oh, my God, oh, they found something. That, you know, this Carson hadn't been working. Maybe Penny's going to work. And then Randy Gregory, it was a sweep to Penny, and he was tackled for a 7-yard loss.
Huge.
And, you know, that's what I really love about D-Law and Gregory, too. They don't just make plays in the passing game. They make huge plays in the running game, too.
Didn't you? I'm sorry to sound like a cowboy fanboy bitch boy, but didn't you feel like you saw Randy Gregory get held like 3 or 4 times?
Yes.
Yeah.
He absolutely got held on, was it a fourth down play? Or was,
it was one of the fourth and six
play. The fourth and six play.
And
he got held.
Almost came off.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, if the refs are not going to call stuff, like, I'm cool, because that game had a good pace to it.
Right.
Again, we were late in the third quarter, and only 6 penalties have been called all game long.
I'm good with that, too.
I had no problem with that, so I'll take a couple holds.
Cowboys are supposed to be a physical team, so that's the kind of thing that I think the fan base should want.
You want to you don't want them calling holds on you every time.
No, but that's I'm sorry to interrupt you, Ben, but Russell Wilson's a very difficult quarterback to play defense against. You have to be loaded up to be physical against the run, and then he's so elusive. That's an incredible effort by this defense.
So on the second, you mentioned the Malik Collins sack that was on the third drive overall for Seattle. On the second Seattle drive, that's the Antoine Woods play, which you mentioned.
Okay.
And dude, it was a play action, double fake screen, and he destroyed Carson. I mean, dude, give it up to Marinelli.
Yeah.
You know, Broadus has brought this up. Marinelli deserves credit. He could have been a big ego guy and said, no, I don't want Chris Richard come impeding on my territory. Hell no, I call the plays right. He's like, no, it's fine. I'll handle the D-line. And look how he's got these guys playing. It's, outside of Tyrone Crawford, on the defensive line, a lot of these guys are no names. Antoine Woods, it just feels like all he does is make plays. And I always feel like there's someone in the way of his celebration. Like, he makes plays in traffic, so his big old body's up, and he's trying to dance and celebrate, but there's, like, people in the way he can't even really get to celebrating.
Like, when we talk about Will McClay a lot, we talk about him with the draft, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But we forget about, he scouts all these other players in the league, too,
right,
okay?
Right.
Every player in the league he's probably got a scouting report on. And on Friday when we had Steven on, kind of asked Steven, what's the deal with Antoine Woods? How'd you guys find him? I mean, and Steven goes, the best thing, or one of the best things Will McClay does is communicate with the coaches. Will McClay goes to all the coaches, finds out, what do you guys want? All right, I'll see what I can find for you. All right, I found Antoine Woods for you. Go have fun. Sure enough, Antoine Woods is not the guy who fought Travis in training camp anymore.
Right.
He's an important piece. Like,
was he just a camp body, or did they think he was going to make the team?
I don't know. I don't know.
So,
at the time, David Irving was a thing, and he was suspended, but he was still a thing.
Right. You know? I want to say this about Marinelli, too. And, maybe it would have been different 15 years ago, but there is something special about a guy that's not worried about his job.
Mm-hmm.
And also a guy that's as accomplished as Marinelli is, because I think it takes a tremendous amount of just comfortability with your own resume, your own history, and what you've accomplished to take a guy who has a lesser title and give him all that responsibility, because it's not Marinelli going, oh, I'm worried about my job and I got to do this positioning and it's got to be about me. It's, this guy's going to help us. Great. Do your thing, brother. And that's a really awesome place in life where Marinelli is, because, dude, his forte is absolutely working with defensive linemen.
So I want to take you guys to the start of the second quarter in this game. The Cowboys have the ball, and it's a drive completely falls apart. There's out of nowhere, there's Tavon Austin jet sweep. That's a 3-yard loss. You've got Jerron Reed tackles Zeke for a loss. It's just there's a false start on Lyell. There's check down to Zeke, and then there's a punt. There was a massive tackle by Thomas on that. Did you see it on special teams on this?
Oh, Lock, the Joe Thomas tackle. Yeah,
the
yes.
Joe Thomas tackle as Lockett's about to make it outside. If he turns that corner, that's a problem. All right, so then you go on to Seattle's fourth drive of the game. They start at their own 22 because of that awesome play. Now, they haven't done anything. It's three straight three and outs. This is the danger, though, of the Garrett and Linehan conservative approach, because the team should be dominating this team, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a good team, but your defense is playing so well, you feel like you should have more than a 3-0 lead.
Right.
Right. First play action to Dixon, tight end wide open, 27 yards. Next play action to Lockett, 40 yards. That's 67 yards in two plays.
Yes.
Out of nowhere.
And that was a great call, by the way, on the Dixon play.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was the first yeah. time they got, I don't know if this is the first time, but they got Russ on the move. They had Dixon rolling out. He was wide open in the middle of the field. And then to your point, Ben, boom, they splash with a splash-type player. That's what Lockett is. He's a splash player. He's got a lot of speed. So that's why you got to take advantage of the opportunities, because you never know when a weird special teams play or a fumble or just a big splash play changes the complexion of a game.
That's where the game got really weird, because there's 7 minutes left in the second quarter at that point, and that's where things got really, really weird. That's the drive where Frank Clark tackles Zeke and twists his leg the next time the Cowboys get the ball.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, dude, that's dirty. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
I'm thinking, that's kind of dirty, right?
Dirty player.
And Looney got in his face, and then Frank Clark is talking back to Looney, and I'm like, dude, this guy is menacing. Because I remember you talking about him out of Michigan. He's a guy who had all those problems.
We liked him. The Cowboys liked him, too. They just couldn't do it at the time.
Domestic violence.
And we were coming off
thing.
The heart of year.
It was in a hotel, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, there's a body slam and a lamp. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff.
And well, then, they had already taken some flyers on some guys that may or may not be available.
Right.
And
so at that point, I'm thinking, damn, Frank Clark, what a jerk, man. He's kind of crazy. Look at him trying to twist Zeke up. Very next play, I'm like, they're going to make him pay. He gets a big old sack. I'm like, dude, crazy Frank Clark is about to take over this game. Were you thinking that at all at that point?
I absolutely was. I was like, now don't get him heated up, because he's playing at a DeMarcus Lawrence type level now. So it's change a game on his own.
And you guys remember he was the one about 7 or 8 weeks ago trashing Richard Sherman?
Yes.
He was the one that was like, he ain't in this locker room anymore, so don't ask him about what's going on with our team.
Yeah.
He needs to worry about the Niners.
So I started freaking out a little bit, thinking he was going to take over the game. And so this led to a very interesting moment for Garrett, because then Garrett's got to decide, all right, so there's the sack. There was a dump off to Zeke because it was third and 20 after the Frank Clark sack. So that drive's killed. But there's 3:45 left, third and 10 from the Seahawks' 41-yard line after a little dump off to Zeke. And Garrett decides to try a Maher field goal attempt, which is, what is that going to be?
It was a 58-yarder,
58-yard attempt, right?
Yeah.
So a 58-yard attempt. When you are basically outside of those two plays, mm-hmm. two kind of broken play-action plays, they got mm-hmm. you. It's three and out, three and out, three and out.
Right.
Outside of that, and Garrett tries a 58-yard freaking field goal. I thought that was a terrible decision, which basically ended up giving Seattle the ball back on their own 48 with 3:12 left.
I want to say this. It was a terrible decision, but I do have to say that I was the guy last week saying I hope Garrett coaches the playoff game like he did the Giants game. Mm-hmm. So I'm totally talking out of both sides of my mouth. I thought it was a terrible mistake. Everything you said, Ben, is way on point. And I also think, with the timeouts you have, if you pin Seattle back within the 10 or 15, you're probably going to get the ball back with about 2 minutes to go at about the 40 anyways after pitching a shutout. So,
but at the time, you're thinking points, though, too.
I know.
Because I was torn and had a big disagreement in the house. I was like, either way.
Right.
I get it, but I was kind of okay with the field goal because I thought Maher was going to knock it down from 55 plus.
That's
his range, right?
Yeah. He's way better from 55 than 37 for whatever reason.
I thought that, but they posted a graphic on the broadcast and it's wrong. He's better from under 40.
Most guys are better from under 40. Everybody's better from under 40, but you get the point. You don't trust the guy.
It was like 30 to 40 to 40 to 50. I thought it was better from deeper.
Right. And
he's not.
And so look, in that final 7 minutes after being 3-3 in the second quarter, the final 7 minutes of the half, the whole game happened really. Okay, so you have that decision by Garrett, which leads to a field goal for Seattle. So now you're trailing 6-3. It's Seahawks 6, Cowboys 3. This is probably the biggest play of the game. Ezekiel Elliott, 41 yards. Seattle's 22.
Ezekiel.
Dude, Zeke, that changed everything.
Mm-hmm. Ezekiel Elliott.
Because he'd had 5-yard runs, 7-yard runs, things like that. There wasn't anything huge, but when he broke that thing open.
Splash play, baby.
Now that's a splash play. And then you end up getting down to in the red zone. Now you've got red zone issues, obviously, with this offense. Cowboys have struggled in the red zone. I told you that I've had Cowboys players tell me they don't know why Gallup's not more involved in some of these, back shoulder fade type plays. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to get those guys on sync. And so, sure enough, we see it. This is Dak Prescott in two plays. The first play, it's a fade to Gallup. It lands on the third row in the stands. I don't even know. What did you say when you were watching Gallup?
Well, it's like Gallup is turning for the ball, and then he keeps turning, and he does a full 360 as he watches the ball sail off into the stands.
Like an outfielder watching a home run.
Oh, well, that went over the fence.
And then the next pass, which was the touchdown pass, which put the Cowboys up 10-6 with 24 seconds left to go in the half, you couldn't have thrown a better pass. You couldn't have gotten Tom Brady in his prime. You couldn't have gotten any quarterback at any point ever to throw a better pass. Gallup could have run the route with his eyes closed. Hmm. The ball caught itself. It landed in a breadbasket, and the defender, as the defender's turning around looking for it, it's already there.
It was perfect.
It was a perfect pass, and I saw some national guy go, I don't understand what I'm seeing from Dak Prescott. First ball, same play. First one, three rows in the stand. Second one's the prettiest pass I've ever seen. What do I make of this?
I legitimately had the thought in my head that he was setting it up. were they like, all right, we're going to sacrifice a play to really set the defense up here.
I'm not trying to say he's this guy, but if you watch Carolina, that's Cam Newton to a T. Cam Newton does that stuff. Mm-hmm. He'll sail a guy by 15 yards and then make some ridiculous play.
Well, and that wasn't it for the game either in the second quarter, because in those final 7 minutes, that also included Lockett then returns a 52-yard kickoff return for Seattle after that touchdown.
What a play by Maher.
Yeah, Maher saves touchdown. And essentially it leads to Janikowski trying a 57-yarder. And that changed the dynamic of the game when his leg fell off.
At first, you're thinking, that's great. But then when you see how Seattle just starts going for everything, just makes you really nervous. That can end up playing out either way.
And then you have the pickup basketball injury. It was so amazing. I mean, I'll never forget him screaming.
All right, we're gonna get back to us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.